Welcome to the Sports Report Podcast with Ben, Ricky, and Jalen. We cover trending and popular topics surrounding the world of professional and on-campus sports. With each of us having a unique sports background, we give different perspectives and insight on the current climate of sports news. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Sports Report Pod. Class is in session. I'm Ben here with Jalen and Ricky. It's our first recorded episode,
yes, sir.
As you can see the camera.
Finally, so, you guys get to see us.
Yeah, we finally got the camera. Thanks to Ricky for setting that all up.
No, we're evolving right now. We're evolving.
Yeah, we're gotta keep it going. Yeah. So we're going to get right into the NBA playoff seeding. The NBA standings are really close, especially in the West right now. So we'll start with Ricky. What's been your main takeaway with the playoffs just a few games away now?
It's been crazy. The last, pretty much after All-Star break, it's been insane. What is it, 1 through 10 are all over 500? It's like the first time. 1 through 11.
Yeah,
it's like the first time in NBA history, I think, right, that every, like, 1 through 11 is.
It's got to be up there.
It has to be, yeah. I think this playoffs, for sure, and the play-in, it has to be a must-watch, especially in the West. These teams are playing out of their mind as far as, like, top three teams and even the bottom teams. I mean, we have the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Kings in the play-in right now.
Yep.
I forgot the other team on top of my head, but
the Pelicans.
Yeah, it's gonna be gritty this year. I'm excited to see what's gonna happen.
Yeah, to your point. Ever since the play-in has gotten instated, we've seen those young teams kind of round out the 7 through 10 seeds with the, you know, the vets who have the top stars waiting for them in the next round. This year, it's kind of flipped where we got the Timberwolves, the Thunder, Pelicans, teams like that, young teams in the top six, and teams like Golden State, the Lakers, the Kings, the Suns battling out in the play-in. So we're going to have the young guys who are already locked in waiting to see kind of the old guard battle it out in the first round, which is going to be fun.
Because
It's usually the other way around. You know, you got the vets waiting for to see which young team is going to, you know, kind of prove themselves to see who's going to be contending in the later years. It's the reverse. It's like, oh, the young guys are locked in already. Like, we don't have to worry about them getting bounced early. Now it's like, okay, what previously contending, like, veteran team is going to come in and play the young team when they have home court in a 7-game series. So I think that aspect, at least in the West, oh, my God, that's super fun.
Yeah, no, it's a battle. I mean, and the teams right now could still move up. Like, the Lakers,
so close.
The Lakers are 11 games above 500, and they're the ninth seed
in
the West.
Just
like, that's crazy. But they're one game behind the Kings for eight, and that's the difference between only playing one play-in game, and then you have to win two in a row.
Yep.
Compared to where you could lose one if you're up in the 7-8.
Huge. Suns are getting hot. They won last night.
Yes, and Suns are only a game and a half up of the Lakers, so the Lakers could even jump up to six. Like, all those teams, the Suns, Pelicans, Kings, Lakers, Warriors are a little further back right now. Those teams could all jump up and not have to go through the play-in and with just five games left. So every regular season game is, like, super important down the stretch. But like you said, it's going to be exciting. We got the young teams up top. Timberwolves are tied with the Nuggets for the one seed right now. Then the Thunder right a game back in third, so it's going to be wild. Clippers seem to be solidified in fourth, and then Dallas is fifth. I want Clippers, Dallas. Luka has already had battles with the Clippers in the playoffs. Now he's got Kyrie and facing Harden, Paul George, Kawhi.
Yeah, Dallas is not a team I don't think anybody wants to see in the first round.
It's going to be real scary. It's really hard to guard Luka and Kyrie, especially when they get it going. Plus, they're in the playoffs.
Kyrie in the playoffs is killer.
Yeah, and I feel like Luka, he's been kind of out the picture as far as, like, MVP goes.
I think he is the MVP right now.
I personally
if I had a vote, it would be Luka over Jokic. Jokic would be second. Like, they're neck and neck, but
wait,
Luka for me.
Who do you guys have? You guys have Jokic winning MVP right now?
I think he's going to.
Yeah, I think he's been the front runner for, I mean, pretty much the whole season. I think he should, for sure. Especially after last year, the whole thing with Jokic versus Embiid, and Embiid kind of edging him out just because he didn't have an MVP already. It'll come back to cycle Jokic's way, I think, this year. Like you were saying, he'll probably win it.
Yeah.
They haven't really talked about it that much this year. I mean, I think Shea might be up there.
He's third right now.
He's third?
Okay. The MVP ladder. It's Jokic, and then Luka is a little further behind, and then Shea's pretty far behind.
And then is it Giannis after that?
I think Giannis is
and
right
then Sabonis.
Yep.
Yeah, so stacked.
And Tatum's up there too. Tatum might be above Sabonis.
It's crazy, like, all those guys legitimately have cases for MVP, like, any year.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is the year, like, they're all producing at that high of a level. It's crazy. Usually we see two guys go at it or three guys go at it for the race. Like, you got six or seven real, like, oh, he probably could win it.
Yeah.
Just unreal.
Like, the year Nash won it, or, like, the 2 years, like, any of these guys could have won it.
Oh, my God.
Him,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Now let's move to the Eastern Conference. You know, not as close. We have Boston already clinched. They'll be the one seed. Then the Bucks are in second, but they're slipping. Cleveland, Orlando, and New York are all within 2.5 games of the Bucks, so they can move up to the two seed. What has stood out to you in the Eastern Conference so far? I'll start with Jalen.
Yeah, the Knicks have been banged up kind of since the All-Star break, and they're still up there proving that they can beat any team on any given night. If they have home court advantage too, depending on what happens going into the playoffs, it'll be tough, like in a 7-game series going into Madison Square Garden. Brunson, this will be his second playoff run with the Knicks. And I mean, that guy just gets better and better every year. I talked about in the last episode, he's one of my favorite players to watch, and with, you know, more experience under his belt, overall more experience for that whole team, they're going to be, I'm excited to see what the Knicks do in the playoffs. And the Magic have jumped all the way up to fourth in the standings.
Yep.
If you guys remember back to our first ever episode, me and Ben were pretty high on the Magic, at least to make the play-in. We didn't think they were going to be the four seed. Yeah, Paolo Banchero really had a breakout season past the, like, expectations that we all thought. Definitely. I think the talent he displayed last year just on that bad Magic team taking a bunch of shots, like, you could see, all right, he's going to get more physical and he's going to get better. But just how much he's improved shooting-wise, just efficiency is leaps and bounds in this one off season, in this 1 year. Super young too, so they're going to be good for the next couple years.
Yeah,
I'll be excited to see what they do in the first round too.
Yeah, his improvement as a shooter was big. A lot of players don't take that jump right away. Like, you look at Ben Simmons. He was supposed to. Like, everyone was getting on him. Like, you need to develop the jump shot, and he never did.
No.
So he eventually fell off. Paolo's doing that, like, this early is a good sign for the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really liking the Magic. They're, what, two games behind the two seed, which is crazy to say. Yeah. Last year, they didn't even make the playoffs. I'm really liking how Paolo evolved. In the beginning of the season, he wasn't shooting that well. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the year. But, yeah, now he's just been killing it. Joe Ingles is the other guy, too.
Jalen
Joe. He's
the vet.
They
brought him in.
Yeah,
he's
perfect
very
for what
important.
They needed.
Yeah, I think he's very important. I think I remember you saying he's, like, has the biggest plus and minus or
plus
something.
Plus minus, yeah. That was really early in the year, like maybe a month or two into the season. Yeah, he was killing it for them.
Yeah, so.
Still is.
I really like them. And then the Knicks as well. They're very interesting. I think Julius Randle being out for the year is going to hurt.
Blow for sure.
It's going to hurt in the playoffs. But I really like how they've been playing without him lately. I really love how DiVincenzo has been stepping up to the plate. McBride's been playing every minute in the last, like, seven games, which I've been trying to
Thibodeau style, huh?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that out. But hopefully OG comes back. And
he's progressing towards it, looks like. So. Yeah. Playoffs, you should be there.
Yeah, but I just don't know how they will, like, stand up against the top teams in the East without Julius Randle. It's hard for me to see them beating Milwaukee or the Celtics or, you know, a team like that. But we'll see. I mean, they're definitely a strong team. We just got to see.
Yeah, no, I think they could win their round one matchup, especially if it ends up being Orlando versus them, just because they have a little bit of experience. And Brunson in the playoffs last year was killer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, second round's going to be tough for sure, especially if they run into Milwaukee or Boston or even Cleveland, just because they don't have Randle. They're missing another all-star.
What do y'all think about the Sixers right now? I was going to ask.
Thinking about that, too.
Because they're eighth seed right now. Joel Embiid just came back. I'm pretty sure they're going to make the playoffs. Just don't know what seed.
It'll be low.
Do y'all think that they have a chance, like, to beat one of the top teams if they're fully healthy with Joel Embiid?
I think they could beat Milwaukee because just Doc Rivers has not been a good coach for them. They're 15-15 with him. They were 30-13 with Adrian Griffin. So I think Milwaukee could get upset early. I don't think they're beating Boston.
Yeah.
So especially with Embiid just coming back, like he's still getting like his legs back and getting back in the groove.
And Boston plays so well on the road.
In Boston, they're just the best all around team in the league right now. It's just they have games where they don't look good at all. Yeah. They don't respond to losing a lead early. But yeah, Philly, I think they could make an upset. It just can't be Boston. Any team but Boston.
Yeah. To your point, with the lead thing and how bad some of their losses look, and I think we were having this conversation earlier in the week.
Yeah.
The one team out of these top contending, like, Tier 1 NBA Finals favorites teams that I feel like does really well as just a unit in overall close games and, like, how they handle pressure late is the Nuggets.
100%.
And I think, like, that's why, and we talk about this too, like, if anyone's trying to come up with reasons why the Nuggets aren't going to repeat, like, the only thing you could think of is, well, they have the target on their back and, you know, teams are going to not underestimate them as the defending champions. But in terms of actual on-court performance, that's kind of it. Like, they don't have any holes in their roster. None. Jokic is, I mean, generational, like, can lead any team through anything. They're kind of all put together. And like the Celtics, who have the best record in the NBA, they've looked at times like, oh, how are they going to respond to another team putting pressure on them, which in the playoffs is going to be so big because no matter how well you do and how many blowout losses you have in an 82-game regular season, when you're playing the same team seven times, like, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
No matter the matchup, they're going to give you their best game, and you have to show up with your best game, and you're probably going to be down, if not half the time, maybe more than half the time. So, like, that formula of, you know, being able to respond to when you're down as a, like, top contending team is really kind of, I think, a teller as to whether you're a fraud or a real contender once you get to the playoffs. And that's kind of like the one team is the Nuggets that I feel like respond really well to that, which is bad news for the rest of the league going into the playoffs.
Yeah, no, Denver kills it down the stretch. Jamal Murray and Jokic just take over the game. I saw it last year, conference finals. All four games against the Lakers were really close. And then Murray and Jokic would go into that little pick and roll at like every time down the floor.
Oh my
and
God.
It would just
it's so hard to guard.
Exactly.
Because they got so many counters to that. It's like you got MPJ in the corner. You got Aaron Gordon ready to
bend
do whatever.
Your bend don't break the whole way. Like, and after playing 3.5 quarters of like your hardest game on defense, and I mean your only hope is that one of those guys gets into foul trouble and they're so disciplined on the defensive end. It's like, all right. Now we get to crunch time and they're just running pick and roll and you can't stop it. Like,
yeah, no, it's so hard to defend. If you go over and you're chasing Murray, he could go and finish at the lane.
He puts guys into jail so well off that pick and roll.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you trap Murray, he just slips it to Jokic. Jokic is such a good passer. So whoever is going to step up, it's either a lob to Aaron Gordon or wide open three for Michael Porter
Jr. Dunker
it's
spot.
Like, it's impossible to guard. So when they go to it in crunch time, it's you got to hope someone misses a shot.
Yeah, you just got to take what comes with it pretty much. That's all you can do. Yeah.
So they're definitely – I think it's going to be Denver-Boston. Like, it's easy to say that because they're two high seeds, but they're the best teams.
Boston is – I'm still just not sold.
I am scared about that.
I'm just not sold. Yeah. I'm just not – I mean, they are a solid team. Don't get me wrong. Like, I really like how they play. Just the couple of games that they really blew, like that 30-point lead that they lost from the Hawks without Trae Young.
Yep.
I don't even think – yeah. It was just – I don't
know.
Real championship team shouldn't be going down like
on
that.
God.
That was when DeJounte Murray had 44 points on 44 shots.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, in the post-game conference, he was like, I still thought I played bad. And we're like, well, you shot the ball kind of every possession in the last game, so.
Yeah. They got the win, though.
Yeah, you guys won the game.
So, but, yeah, it'll be interesting. Boston, I definitely am scared. Like you said, they're just – their losses are bad.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, though. I want to see how Milwaukee does in the playoffs because, just like how you said, they haven't been playing the best. Like, it's kind of been a little mid, and I feel like they're relying a lot on what Giannis and Dame do throughout the game. I kind of want to see how that dynamic is in the playoffs because, I mean, how many years do they have to really, you know, make
that
run?
Yeah, the window's really small for
and
them.
And Dame's contract is huge, like, going forward. Eventually, he's going to be making over $60 million on his contract.
Yeah. It's going to be real tough to keep both those guys together with a good foundation of other players.
Brook Lopez is like 35 now, so he doesn't have many years left.
Jay Crowder.
Chris Middleton's getting up there in age too, and he's kind of taken a step back over the last few years with his injuries. Yeah, like you said, Jay Crowder, he'll probably be done in the next few seasons.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough for them.
The Bucks, late, when it's close, it doesn't feel like they're in control.
Yeah.
Like, not at all.
It doesn't feel like, oh my God, this is the second best team in the Eastern Conference. Like, we have to play our A game down the stretch if we want to, like, go beat this team in the fourth quarter. It feels like they're the ones pressing to try to get back right, like, late in the game.
Yeah.
I kind of also feel that way with the Suns sometimes. They have to they'll either get up so big early or they'll go down so big early.
Yep.
But they've been playing better recently. Like, they've beat some really good teams down the stretch. And, like we were talking about kind of off-air, they have the hardest remaining schedule out of those.
So tough. Oh, that's why
they all playoff teams.
A tough chance of staying in the 7-8. They might drop to the 9-10.
Yeah, like, big implications, too, in seeding, because it's not like you're playing an Eastern Conference team where if you lose, you drop a half game. It depends on what everyone else does. Like, you're playing people who are ahead of you.
Yep.
So, like, if you lose, it's so big with how you move in the standings this 100%.
Late. 100%. Yeah. So, go back to your point on the Bucks. Close games late. I mean, they lost to the Lakers twice without LeBron.
Double OT.
The first game I was at was when D'Lo hit a game winner in L.A. Dinwiddie got the block on Dame. They were up like 4 points with like under a minute left, and the Lakers just had a couple of key shots and they couldn't do anything on offense. Like, Giannis turned it over and then their last shot gets blocked. In the double overtime game, they had so many chances to win that. AD was hurt in that game too, and he played through double overtime. So he wasn't taking a lot of shots in overtime or the fourth quarter. And they still couldn't close it out with Giannis and Dame. So I'm definitely scared for them in the playoffs too. That's kind of, like, the two best teams in the East have major concerns.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I think a team out West is going to win this year.
Yeah, I feel like the West is way too competitive. Like, what would y'all say Milwaukee stacks up against compared to, like, the third seed down? You know, like, what's the like, they're around, like, the same, you know? I don't know. I don't really know exactly
how
to explain
it. I think, like, all those when I think about it, I think about it like this. Like, if there's a tier one, if Milwaukee, like, if all these teams in the West are tier one, like, Milwaukee might not even be in that tier.
Yeah.
Like, the Nuggets and the Celtics are tier one favorites. I don't know that you could even argue another team in either league is maybe.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in tier, I think in the East, if it's just the Bucks in that next tier, in the West, there's the Clippers and the Suns and
OKC, you know, Minnesota.
OKC, Minnesota, with how good they are on defense. Yeah. That could be in that thing, too.
Then you got the loomers, like the Lakers, the Warriors, Pelicans.
Yeah. You could even argue the Lakers are, like, in the playoffs when the Lakers, I mean, they're hot right now. Like, when they're playing
that's what happened last year. They went all the way to conference finals.
Yeah.
So.
Couple right bounces in the playoffs. You know, how LeBron is, like, they
and
can do it.
He's been killing it lately. Yeah. 9 for 10 from three on Sunday against the Nets. Highest true shooting percentage of his career is like 103%.
Wow, his evolution is so crazy. I'll be getting so much edits on him on my
page. Those are wild. No.
Yeah.
I seen one where a dude had like 10,000 pictures of LeBron in his camera roll, and he was and his girl texted him, said something, was like, "Can we just go watch LeBron play or something?" And then it was weird.
Are getting too crazy.
Yeah, they're getting
with
OD.
LeBron.
They're getting OD.
That seems like a good place to transition into the MLB. we'll leave it on that note.
Yes.
We'll start with you, Jalen, because the Oakland A's, you know, they kind of have a big change going on.
Goodness gracious,
it's kind of been a disaster. So
mess.
Yeah.
Put me in tune, because I'm not totally sure what's going on.
So, before I kind of go into what's happening currently with the A's at the beginning of this year, their owner John Fisher is very, like, the opposite of an ideal owner for a sports team. Has absolutely no. Like, not even has no regard for the fans, but also, like, is actively antagonizing the fans in order to push some goals that he's trying to get. Like, he's trying to just be – he's trying to get rich. Like, he's milking this team as a cash cow for money, and he's trying to move them to Vegas because, you know, bigger – just more money all around for opportunity for that team, despite, you know, what the fans want, what the team wants. So in order to get them to Vegas, he's putting out – like, actively putting out the worst product on the field in Oakland so that when attendance goes down and they become 30th in the league, they're like, hey, look, we're not getting any support from our local fans, guys. We have to move to Vegas. MLB approved it. They're going to probably end up in Vegas. But recently, because the lease is up on their current stadium, the Ring Central Coliseum in Oakland, where they've played since, oh, my God,
forever.
The 70s, since they moved from Kansas City when they were the Kansas City A's. Very big, like, childhood memories for me there. I went to – my first A's game was, like, 2006 ALDS against I believe it was the Tigers. It might have been Justin Verlander's rookie year.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe the Twins. I think the Twins is who they played in the CS, so it might have been that series. Anyway, I was 1 year old.
Yeah.
So huge – I mean, I've been an A's fan since before I could talk. And, like, watching the whole MLB kind of – not the whole MLB, but people who are kind of casual fans turn and look at the situation and go, oh, my God, Oakland is – they got the worst fan base in the league. Where were you 3 years – 4, 5 years ago actually now? Wow, that just shows how fast time flies. 2019 wild card, they set the record for the most single-game attendance in the playoffs because that stadium's so big. 53,000 people packed in that stadium, all wearing green. It was the like it was so loud. I was at that game. It was my sophomore year of high school. And, like, the owner got what he wanted. Like, people now kind of calling out A's fans, like, look, even no matter what the product, they're not going to show up. But when the product is good, we do show up. Yeah. We made the playoffs from in 2018, 2019, and 2020. 2020 was obviously the COVID year, but they won a playoff series against the White Sox in the first round. But, yeah, their lease is up on the stadium. The move to Vegas is targeted for 2028. So in the meantime, they're going to play in Sacramento at a AAA stadium. Yep. It seats 14,000, so and for those who don't know, I know we're in an LA market. Sacramento's about 90 minutes away from Oakland. So, like, real Oakland fans who, I mean, what little season ticket holders they probably have left, a lot of them are kind of from a little bit of a higher age bracket from when the A's were really good, won back-to-back World Series. But those real diehard A's fans who are from Oakland, born and raised, rooted in Oakland, are not going to get – I mean, you got to drive – you know, 90 minutes on 5 all the way up to Sacramento to get to a game. And attendance is going to be still super low.
Horrible.
And it's going to be people from Sacramento who, you know, are A's fans probably, but or maybe not even
A's fans. Just want to go.
We have an MLB team in Sacramento. Let's go. But that's all kind of eyewash. The point is this owner is taking all the money from the TV contracts. He's taking all the money from the sponsorships because the payroll in the MLB – that teams have to pay their players comes from the top. It's not like the NBA where it's like you have a salary cap and then you have money for the top and you have money for, you know, to pay your players' contracts. In the MLB, it's all like your money is your money and you can kind of disperse it however.
There's no cap, right?
Which is why there's no cap. Like why the bigger market teams like the Yankees who make so much money off their sponsorships and TV contracts, they can put it towards their team because there's no salary cap while also making a ton of money. Obviously, Cashman makes so much money.
Yep.
But Dodgers the A's.
Doing that. We'll get to that. In a
bit. Oh, boy. Do we have a lot to talk about the Dodgers right now. But the A's, Fisher's taking all this money just to keep, to get himself richer and not acknowledging the fans. They turned off the comments and the replies on all the A's social media, which is just unbelievable.
Wow.
Like, that might be the first time in pro sports like that's happened. I've never seen
that's
a social
weird.
Media team turn off their comments.
Maybe just like one post, but not like
the whole season. Yeah. Like you're not able to comment on A's stuff. Like I'm following the A's Instagram. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
so it's just an active like disregard and fuck you to the fans so that he can get more money to move to Vegas. But anyway, circling back to the content, the A's are going to be playing in Sacramento for the next couple of years. I think there's a 3-year lease with an opt out after every year.
So will they be Oakland or would it be Las Vegas?
So that's another thing. Just to kind of keep going with that narrative that to antagonize Oakland, they're not even having a city name in their jersey. When they go to Sacramento, they're just going to be the A's or the Athletics. Like how
that's
the Guardians. Like it's going to be like a reverse. Remember when the Indians changed their name to the Guardians?
Yeah.
So for like a season they were just Cleveland.
Oh.
Now it's like the Athletics.
Yeah.
So, like, I see all this stuff on social media. The Athletics baseball team.
The Athletics baseball team. Yeah. I was literally going to say, they could be, like, the Washington football team.
So, it's just a shit show in Oakland, and it hurts. It hurts as a Bay Area native, as an A's fan who has, like, that area has so much pride in the green and gold. Like, that team's, even while Fisher, because he's been the owner since 2013 or 2011, somewhere like that. And they've made playoff runs since then. And even when he was kind of like not putting the best product out there, refusing to pay the stars that you develop, and then once they hit free agency, they trade them away, even when they're in their contending window, just because he doesn't want to spend any money, they were still going out and like winning games just because there was so much pride in that like Oakland name. And now having it getting taken away, it's like, not even is there a good product on the field, but just the upside with like the farm system and the young guys coming up, there's literally nothing to be excited about as an A's fan. And it's just terrible. In the past, like when they're really bad, 2017 in between their window of championships, they were really bad. And like 2010 through 2011, they were really bad. But it was still so fun to like go to their games and root for them because they were still actively trying to win the game. And like they had vets on their team.
Yeah.
They had the most walk-offs in the 2010s, I'm pretty sure, overall. So it was just fun to watch like that bad team go out there and like, no, look, like we're still scrappy. Now, it's bad, the product on the field, but it's like to another level. Like guys I've never even heard of are playing. Like AAA, maybe fringe AAA starters are playing at the big league level just to save as much money and lose as many games as possible. It's just so fucked up.
And they're sending down the only good players.
Yes. So another rant I'm going to go on. So Estuary Ruiz led the league last year in stolen bases with 67. He's the A's center fielder. Kind of had a subpar hitting year, but his defense is really good. And then the A's lone all-star, Brent Rooker, who had an amazing first half to the year last year, hit 32 home runs in the season last year. Rooker got benched, and Ruiz, after starting the season with like a .429 batting average, he was 3-for-4 on opening day, stole a couple bags, like showing that, no, I'm going to get better from last year. They sent him down to AAA right after the first series, and Rooker is, I mean, I think if he's playing, he's like batting seventh, clearly the best hitter on the team or on the bench. And there's a lot of speculation that it's because they were wearing these wristbands from this longtime Oakland kind of social media group called Last Dive Bar. So all of our listeners, please go check them out. They do a lot of good stuff for the Bay Area. They represent really well. So they've been partnered with, like directly partnered with Oakland for a while. They were making shirts and merch with their Last Dive Bar name, just like selling it outside the Coliseum and online for a while.
Yeah.
And they ended up signing a deal with the A's, like, you can continue selling because, you know, you're promoting good stuff for our team. We're just going to take a commission. And they were like, oh, this is huge. We're happy to do it. So they've been in partnership for a while. Ever since this whole sell the team stuff and with the A's moving to Vegas has gone on, Last Dive Bar has been very vocal on social media about, hey, look, you're fucking us over. And Ruiz and Rooker were wearing a couple of wristbands from Last Dive Bar. And there's some speculation that the team got a wind of that and are now punishing them for that, which is just...
Wait, so is the owner, he's been the same owner for the past however long?
Yeah, 13 years or something like that.
So
yeah.
What changed from like, because you said like 5-4 years ago, you guys were good, right?
Yeah, so he's always been like this. Like the A's are very known for building up stars through, so in the MLB, when you bring a rookie up, you have 6 years of control before they hit free agency.
It's so cheap contract.
Yeah, you can, for the first 3 years, you pay them whatever you want as long as it's 80% more than their previous year's salary. So you kind of, it's like a rookie contract in the NBA, mm-hmm. but just for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then the last 3 years, the team still has control over you. You meet in front of a judge. It's called arbitration. You meet in front of a judge, and then the team's lawyers also meet in front of a judge, and you kind of just, it's like 3 days, you just battle back and forth about what you should be paid, and then the judge decides. But then after that, you hit the market. So the A's are known for developing these stars. And then last year, 2 years of their contracts, instead of negotiating an extension and, you know, paying them, they just trade them away and try to get prospects back because they just don't have any money. Or don't have any money. They do have enough money. The owner just keeps it.
Yeah.
But I think it was just a different time in where the A's franchise was. Like, that was way before the Vegas like move was conceptualized. So Fisher was like, hey, look, I kind of have to, like, if I blatantly try to, you know, milk this team for money and not pay anyone, I'm probably going to get in trouble because we're kind of good. And now that it's like, oh, we're moving to Vegas and, you know, all these external things, I made it so that he is able to exploit that system and just not pay anyone. And they have the lowest payroll in the MLB for the second year in a row now.
Yep.
It's lower than, like, Shohei's getting paid. I mean, not this year, but
yeah, eventually.
After this 10 years, he'll be getting paid $70 million a year.
Yep.
The A's payroll for all 160-something players in the organization is $40 million.
That's insane.
Like, there's no floor or cap on the salary, and it's just like,
so he's been he's wanting to move that. To Vegas then, like, even when you guys were good, he's just been wanting to move.
He's been scheming.
Probably. Yeah, he's for been sure. Scheming. And also, with that, I don't want to be one-sided, so to talk about the city side, the city of Oakland, and just the politics overall, the A's get no help from the Oakland government.
Was that the same with the Raiders too?
Raiders too. Okay. Just Oakland is
they're both going to Vegas.
That's why San Francisco moved, or San Francisco. That's why the Warriors moved to San Francisco.
Okay.
Just because Oracle, they weren't able to get renovations to that stadium. Oracle is right across in the same parking lot as the Coliseum. So just overall, like, Oakland's really hard for tax dollars to go towards sports teams. It's just not that kind of city. So, yeah, that's my rant.
Yep.
Kind of good to get it off my chest because I've kind of been holding that in for a while. So, good to get it out of the universe and for you guys to share my pain because it's brutal, bro.
Yeah. Do you think once they're in Vegas, he'll pay players once their contract's up?
I really hope so. And that's what's so hard about the move is, like, if you had a competent owner, you're like, okay, we're in this tough situation right now where we have no money, but we're going to move to this other situation. Like how it was with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. They moved to Vegas. I'm like, oh, this sucks because I'm not going to be able to get to go to Raiders games. But I know with Mark Davis, like, he's going to use all this money that they're going to get to make the stadium nice. Allegiant Stadium is awesome.
Yep.
And, like, that team, yeah, even though the Raiders have had their struggles or whatever in the past couple of years, they're really bad. They're trying to win, yeah, games, and they're, yeah, out and they're putting.
No, they're showing,
they're making good moves.
They're
too
showing the public that they're actually trying to win. You know,
you just don't know. Like, I think as long as Fisher's still the owner, it's not going to be very good for baseball.
Yeah.
For the A's, which sucks because it's like, bro, you're still going to make a lot of money if you sell this team to someone who wants to actually win. It's just that now, after all this controversy and stuff, now the value of the A's is depleting because potential buyers know if he wants to sell this to me, it's going to be at a lower price because of the shit job that he's done at managing it. Whereas maybe, you know, late 2010s when we were still kind of winning, but real A's fans from Oakland knew what was going on within the city, yeah, he probably would have gotten more money for selling the team then, just because of the whole situation. So it's messed up.
Do you think it all goes to them just sticking to the money ball, like, way of trying to win for so many years?
I think when they were trying to win through Moneyball, at least they were trying to win.
Yeah.
Now it's like Moneyball for my pockets, Moneyball. But, yeah, I think, yeah, with Vegas, it'll be a couple years before they get all the money to kind of be a bigger market team.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a balance because from a fan standpoint, they're going to pack that stadium with people who aren't A's fans. Yeah. It's going to be the same thing with like how the Chargers faced when they first moved to L.A.
Yeah.
More than 50% of their home games, they pretty much played 17 away games when the Chargers first moved to L.A.
Still now.
Still now.
You get a decent amount of Chargers fans, but it's still like when they play the Niners, the away fans usually.
Or the Raiders.
Yep.
When they play California teams,
yep,
Chargers fans, half the stadium is silver and black or red.
Yep.
That's how it's going to be for the A's for a while. And it's going to suck watching on TV as a fan. Like, we're a mockery. We're out there in our new pretty stadium that looks like the Sydney Opera House. And there's 40,000 Yankees fans when we play a home series.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's going to be tough, too, because you got the Raiders as competition there.
Oh, my God.
And the NBA is saying when they expand again, they're going to want some to Vegas. T-Mobile. And LeBron wants to be an owner in Vegas.
UFC, Vegas is the home, yeah, of the UFC.
So it's not going to be an easy market for them
for sure
dominate and get fans right,
yeah,
away.
For the, when
especially
the
when they're not winning.
100%. When the Raiders move there is one thing. We're going to get our own stadium. We're going to be away from the Strip. With the A's, it's like, okay, now that we're making this move after all these other moves, like, maybe our market is super saturated. Like, at what point do we get to the – at what threshold is it to where, okay, teams just aren't going to – or fans aren't going to care about these new teams that are moving? Because the Knights were the first,
yep.
you know, pro team to kind of.
They got the Knights too.
You know.
And all the Vegas other entertainment stuff in Vegas. Yeah, like
gambling.
And that was even the thing. Like when the Vegas Knights, Vegas Golden Knights, were first incepted in 2017 or 18 or whatever it was.
Then. Yep.
It was like, oh, we're going to get no support. Like, we're just going to make money off, you know, bookie deals and stuff like that and just being in Vegas. And then they started winning, and now they've kind of solidified themselves as, like, Vegas identity. And then the Raiders come, and then the A's come. It's going to be – and then whatever's after the A's. And the A's are just going to be in the middle of all these moves yes. towards Vegas, and Vegas is going to be Vegas for, you know, forever. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm not too high on – the move, let alone the situation. Obviously, the situation is super infuriating, but the move itself, I'm like, there's all these unknowns. It's not just going to be sunshine and winning. Oh, I was going to talk about how I think in this information age with social media, with, you know, so many podcasts like ours, the average fan, this is the smartest they've ever been. And this is the most information they've ever gotten because of just media and
100%.
The way, you know, sports media is going. There's going to be, I think that eventually, after so many X amount of time shedding light on this sports atrocity that is getting committed towards the A's, like, people are going to start getting on board and be like, no, dude, like, we need to find a way to make sure this doesn't happen. Because if one person can do it, another person can do it. And then when does it start leaking into other sports? And just it takes the purity out of the season, because it's like there's 29 teams, like, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's tricky, I think, especially for the MLB, because they're so, like, they're like one of the first ever, like, professional sports. Mm-hmm. I feel like if they did have a cap on, like, on teams, then I feel like it would be more like the teams will be more competitive.
Yeah.
But I just don't think – I don't see them putting a cap on.
Yeah. Because
they're making so much money.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Because for me, I think they should, just because it's – like what the Dodgers have been doing has kind of gotten out of control.
Yeah. So I've thought about that so much, because overall I'm pretty conservative when it comes to baseball. Like, I didn't like the – at first I didn't like the pitch clock rule. I think the enforcement of it has been really good. The three-batter minimum rule with relief pitchers, the bigger bases, the no-pickoff rule, I don't like any of that, because you're changing the game to where how it's played is too different from the pureness of the original game of baseball. If you're going to make these changes, it's supposed to be to improve on holes and, like, just stuff that shouldn't – that messes with the rhythm of the game. I think the stuff that they've been changing kind of makes it to where – it's not improving on anything. It's just making it a different game. Mm-hmm. But with the cap, I'm like, okay, I think there should be a floor for sure, because of what the A's are doing. The Pirates did it a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And I know now they're trying to win. So it's a completely different situation with Pittsburgh. But I know Pirates fans were not happy for a while because of the product on the field too, because it was like, okay, we're going to be bad. We might as well just be really bad so we can make a little bit more money. I definitely think there should be a floor, just so that owners can be held accountable. But I think the cap would take away from the overall, like, culture of baseball. And I know that might be a good thing, because, like you said, of the stuff that the Dodgers are doing, the Yankees every year, they target the top, you know, guys on the market every year, just because that's how they win. They pay the free agents. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing,
yeah.
because – the Yankees and the Dodgers have combined one World Series in the last, you know, 14 years together.
That's true.
And it was during the COVID year. It doesn't clearly – my bad, I'll let you talk in a second. But I don't think it clearly translates to, oh, there's no cap, that means I'm just going to throw my money at the team. That doesn't necessarily equate to a World Series. And I think in the NBA or in the NFL, it would.
Yeah,
so that's why I don't necessarily think it needs to be implemented. But sorry, I cut you off.
I think the Dodgers, like, this case, this is gonna be like the determining factor for the MLB.
Yeah.
Because if this team goes on to win like three in a row or something like that, I think people are gonna start to look into it.
Yeah.
Because their team on paper is, like, we were talking about it yesterday, it's just
unbelievable.
So stacked.
And they signed like we were saying earlier, like, the Teoscar Hernandez signing, that was the Dodgers' last signing in free agency after they had acquired Ohtani, traded for Glasnow and signed Yamamoto out of Japan, they were like, oh, no one's going to go after this right fielder. We'll just pay him and we'll get him.
Yep.
It's like they turned off contracts on their franchise mode and they're just going in on signing everyone during the offseason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're finding loopholes to do it. Like, for those who don't know, the Shohei Ohtani contract structured in a way, it's 10 years for $700 million. So it's an AAV of $70 million a year. But for the 10 years that Ohtani is going to be playing for the Dodgers, they're paying him...
It's $2 or $3 million
a year. $2 or $3 million a year. I think it's two.
Yep.
They're paying him $2 million a year for the time that he's actually going to play for the Dodgers. And then after his contract is up, for the next 10 years, they're going to pay him $60 million a year to go not play for the Dodgers.
And that's why they're able to go sign other guys.
So like, putting that in the contract, you could defer everyone's money towards the back end to where, oh, I've signed, I'm just going to sign every star for $1 million a year, and then now I have all this other money to go pay other people. It really would be like turning contracts off on free agency 100%. In a video game. So that aspect, that's kind of a loophole.
That's
for sure.
I think they'll definitely correct that.
Yeah.
Because the deferred money got out.
That's pretty bad. Yeah. Like the whole Bobby Bonilla thing.
Yep.
It's going to be the Shohei Ohtani thing. In 20 years, think about that. In 20 years, Shohei Ohtani is going to be paid $60 million in 2043.
For not even playing.
And he's going to be, you know, he'll be 48 years old, probably not playing in the MLB.
Yeah.
Just sitting That's in Japan, crazy. Chilling with his wife or multiple wives. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever I don't feels, know what's going on.
He got $60 million, this man.
You know, it's crazy. Well, now that we're talking about Ohtani, let's get into the Shohei Ohtani situation.
Yes.
So I'll let you.
Yeah, so I'm losing track of time. I don't know how long ago it is. I think it's been 2 weeks now.
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Since the whole Ohtani gambling scandal. So if I remember correctly, the first news that broke was that the Dodgers and Ohtani had parted ways with the interpreter.
Yep.
I'm forgetting his name right now.
Ipe,
yes. So they parted ways with him because... Allegedly, the first news that broke was he had access to Shohei Ohtani's bank accounts, and he was funneling money from Shohei Ohtani's bank accounts to these bookies to gamble. And it was like, oh, we fired our interpreter because he was going behind Shohei's back and taking money and gambling, when in reality, no interpreter has access to $4.5 million. That was one of the receipts, was like he moved $4.5 million at one time for one exchange. So a lot of people were like, okay, he's clearly the fall guy for Ohtani's gambling. And then at first, the MLB didn't investigate it because that's your Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody wants to, especially in the
international market too.
Oh, my God.
That they're hitting with him. Holy yeah, God. They didn't want to investigate.
Yeah, played right after playing the first series in Korea.
Yep.
So they didn't want to investigate it, like you said. And I think they did run an investigation probably 3 days after the news broke on social media. And then Ohtani came out with a statement instead of actually holding a press conference and
answering. Yeah, he took no questions.
Took no questions. Just held a press conference with the new interpreter. one of the jokes I saw on social media was that Pete Rose, who was the OG baseball gambler, got banned from the MLB Hall of Fame. He leads the MLB in career hits. So
he was a legend.
He's one of the GOATs. And he's banned from the Hall of Fame because in his managing days, he would bet on his team to win the game, let alone still betting. And, you know, that's why he got banned from the Hall of Fame. And he came out right after and said, oh, if I just had an interpreter, I'd be good. So, yeah, I think... The whole situation is that as a fan, you have to say, hey, look, like, whatever you think is how you think. But from MLB's perspective, it's like, oh, like, this is our guy. It's good for the MLB that he does speak English, but that his main language is Japanese, so that they can kind of defer that heat a little bit.
Yeah.
It was just a weird situation overall. And they could not afford him in his first year with the Dodgers being taken down from a gambling scandal. So just more fishy stuff.
Dodgers would have been in shambles. Yeah. Oh my lord!
But It's just weird. Like, Otani had to know about it. Like, whether he was the one that was betting, like, for sure he knew about it.
Because 100%.
He lived with Ipe, his interpreter. So, like, they're together pretty much 24 hours a day. Like, if someone loses $4.5 million, like, you're going to know about it.
Yeah. No, he was probably
100%. Gambling. Yeah.
And it's so funny. Like, us as fans, we're like, especially now with, like, advertisements for gambling being legalized and, like, more states legalizing gambling and the whole Prize Picks culture, we're just like, oh, well, he gambles, we gamble, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, 10 years ago, this would have been a whole thing.
You know, it's just...
And it's, now it's just...
Dependent on the league, too. Like, the MLB is pretty strict on stuff. The NFL allows gambling as long as it's not on the NFL and you can't be in a team facility. Or, like, on the team plane if you're going to a game or anything.
Yeah.
So, if you're at home, you could bet on the NBA as an NFL player. NBA, I think, is similar to that. Just, obviously, you can't bet on the NBA. You got to bet on other sports. MLB is very strict in, like, a lot of things they do. So, definitely, this is the sport where it's, like, if not necessarily their investigation, but I think the FBI was looking into it or someone else.
There was definitely some legal...
If they find something against Otani, it's going to force the MLB to make a decision. And that would be very interesting.
It might look bad on the MLB, too, if they do find something.
It would.
Because
it would.
Very bad.
100%.
Because it's like, oh, we did our investigation. We turned our blind eye. Yeah.
And then I'm sure that legal team would be like, okay, we're going to look into how you investigated it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have something, too.
No, the MLB is really strict, but it's like they're strict with some stuff. And then other stuff, there's, like, no rules at all. That's why I feel like there's so many scandals in the MLB with the whole Houston Astros cheating thing and the Red Sox using the Apple Watches. And, I mean, there's been so many more in between all these different scandals. It's, like, there's so much money in the MLB that it's, like, corruption is going to follow.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but, I mean, dating back to 1800s.
Just the way it is.
That's just, like kind humans. Of baseball culture. Yeah. Baseball culture. To kind of be influenced with money, which is, you know, not good, but...
It makes everything interesting, though. It gives us something to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, now we'll get into just non-controversial stuff going on in the MLB. So our early season takeaways. So we'll start... We'll keep going with the Dodgers.
Yes.
Mookie Betts has been killing it so far.
Yeah, at his new position at shortstop.
Yep.
After playing a year at second base, after being a gold glove right fielder his whole career, Dodgers are like, hey, look, we're going to move you to shortstop. And he was just kind of like, all right. And he's continuing to hit, proving that he's...
Killing it. Five home runs already.
One of the best players of our generation now.
And I brought it up to you yesterday. A star player that's willing to change positions multiple times, that just shows they want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shows how committed they are as a player.
Seeing that a little bit more, Bryce Harper last year officially got moved to first base.
Yep.
After them trying him out, guys, especially in the infield, get moved to the outfield all the time later in their career. Mookie Betts is such a phenomenal athlete. Like, there's no surprise. If there's one guy in the MLB who could do it, it's him.
Yep. And then Mike Trout looking good so far.
Yes.
After a couple injury-riddled years where he wasn't even when he was playing, he wasn't looking phenomenal.
Yeah, I just hope with him that he goes to a contending team at some point before this guy's illustrious career is over. I mean, there was a time when we were debating on if he would maybe was the greatest baseball player of all time, just in terms of on-field talent, and which I think still is valid. He's
up there, but it's just
haven't seen him in October.
One playoff series,
one hit.
Yep, one for 14, I think. One home run.
Yeah,
that was his only hit.
In 2014, now tied with the longest.
2014.
That's the last time the best player in the MLB made the maybe not best.
One
anymore,
of the
but
best.
Yeah.
No, for a while, he was unanimous.
The consensus.
Unanimous
best.
Number one player in the MLB.
I remember I went to a Mariners game and they were playing, and he was just cooking. Like, he might have had three home runs. Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, he's one of my favorite baseball players. And I don't even watch baseball, and I know, like, he's.
He's a good guy, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Very humble.
And he's very just about, and this is so ironic, like, he's not really rah-rah media guy. He just kind of wants to play baseball, and he just hasn't won anything. Usually guys like that just want to be where they're winning,
And well, he's loyal too, is the thing. And yeah, that sucks.
Signed a big ass contract.
Besides
to
the A's owner, Artie Moreno of the Angels, definitely one of the worst owners.
Yeah,
in that
owner's not very good.
But we won't go on that rant because we're already pretty.
Yeah. Oh, and we were talking about the Angels owner too, how they're pretty bad.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know later in Trout's career if he's still kind of producing at this top level. Like, I don't know if a team is gonna want to take on all that money that he's gonna get paid in his later 30s.
How old is he?
He's young. He's still.
He's like 31,
2?
Yeah.
For real?
I'll look it up right now.
And he's been MVP. I think he won his first MVP in 2013 or 14.
32.
Yeah.
Geez, I thought he was older, like older.
He's been playing for that long.
He came in the league really young.
He's just, he was really good from the very start in 28 when he was.
He was second in MVP his rookie year.
Maybe 11?
2012, I think. Yeah. That was when Miguel Cabrera won.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah, so hopefully Angels, maybe decide to pay his money later on and he can go play for someone else. But
yeah, no, it'll
suck to not see him in the playoffs for the rest of his career.
100%. Well, we're going to wrap it there. We had a lot of rants. You know, hopefully the
A's
listen to you.
Thanks for bearing with me.
Maybe they'll put you in the front office, fix some things.
Get me in there. I have all the gear already. I'll just show up to work first day in green and gold.
There you go. And that'll do it for this episode, our first on camera.
Yeah, sure. Thank you guys.
So Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. We'll figure out how to make it work better in the future. But yeah, class dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Sports Report Podcast. Be sure to check out our Instagram at the Sports Report Pod for more content and to never miss an episode. We'll see you next time.
Score!